Hey there, and welcome back to the Leanne Shelton podcast. So excited to have you here. I have a guest with me, Sarah Walton, and we're going to be chatting all about sales pages and ensuring they have a massive impact. But just quickly, you know, this show is all about marketing, copywriting, business growth, and mindset. So if you need help with getting your creative juices flowing and hit all those business goals, then you've come to the right place. And I hope you go back and listen to past episodes. We have gone through a little rebrand. I was marketing and me. And obviously, I hope you subscribe and continue listening. So welcome to all our new listeners and a welcome to Sarah. Great to have you here.
Hey, Leanne, I'm so happy to be here. Thanks so much for having me on.
Thank you. It's very exciting because when we chatted and you said, oh, I could talk about, the structure of a highly converting sales page, I'm like, yes, this would be an amazing topic because I've only written really one for myself, and that was for the blogging bootcamp, which I did a little pre-launch for November last year. And I thought I was doing all the right things, and hey, I think it did convert, but I'm sure you're gonna point out a whole bunch of things I completely missed, and I'm super keen because and people get overwhelmed by it because these are very long pages and that but the thing is they need to be long to just because people skim read and to land and on everything. But just first before we do dive in, I'll introduce you to everyone and read out your bio briefly. So Sarah Walton is a business mentor who's been featured on the Today Show, speaks at women's conferences all over the world, and has helped hundreds of women start and grow businesses they love. She honed her business building skills working with startups and large corporations, where she managed a P&L worth hundreds of millions of dollars. Oh my gosh. She's the host of the Game On Girlfriend podcast, and she's known for her weekly Coffee with Coach streaming video conversations on Monday mornings. Sarah speaks across the nation, has become the go-to source of inspiration, no-nonsense teaching, and practical integration for women in business, ultimately putting more money in the hands of more women. That all sounds so cool, and I have to listen to your podcast. I haven't tuned in yet. Oh, my gosh.
It's always so fun when someone reads your bio, right? You're like, oh, my God, who is that? That's amazing. You're like, wow.
That's so cool. what's your podcast about? What do you cover?
Well, quite a bit, but I mean, in the podcast, I'd love to have guests on, right? It's so much fun to have a conversation. But I'm really, you know, part of who I am, I think, as a business coach is I just show up and talk. That's what the YouTube streaming is about. That's what we have a YouTube show called Sarah Uncut, where I turn on my phone and God help us all. We don't know what I'm going to say. But my solo episodes on my podcast are very much like that. The last one I covered, actually, you know, I just spent a weekend away with my girlfriends. There's five of us, and we try to meet once a year and really just be with each other and get away. And the response to that episode blew my mind. I'm like, here I am, a business coach, talking about the importance of having girlfriends, right? I didn't expect that to be the episode that blew up, right? We always think it's the super sexy ones, like high converting sales pages, you know, like we think that's what it's going to be. And it's like, really, when we are a lot like you, Leanne, when we're just like people, you know, when we just show up and we talk about the fact that, you know, I don't believe in entrepreneur porn. That's what I call it. When people are like, with a ball of twine and 3 days, I made $1 million from the beach. It's like, no, you didn't. And like, that's not how this works. And please stop selling that to people. And I think people have gotten smarter with that. But I think the more that we can just show up as us on podcasts, on video, at networking events with other people, the more accessible business becomes to all of us, but also the more fun it is. Because I don't know about you, I hate keeping up airs. Like, I try to show up and not look like I rolled out of bed and all. Sometimes I win, sometimes I don't, but I hate that feeling of like, do I have to look a certain way? Are these the rules I have to play by? And I work really hard to not do that, because I think it gives other people permission to do the same. And I'll always show up and be incredibly professional. Of course, we all deliver on what we promise. We never like overpromise and then disappear, like all that kind of junk. But I think you can be incredibly professional and really excellent at what you do and be a person.
Oh, I'm a like a big believer in that, 100%. And I was actually having this conversation just last night at a networking event, just about the social media posts on LinkedIn that go off are the non-business related ones. They're the random things like, oh my gosh, being a business owner is a roller coaster. One day I was like in tears because someone said, not yet. And the next day I had three yeses for all proposals. And I was like, I felt so embarrassed that second day because I'm like, oh, if I just, you know, and I did a little reel on this, hold on for one more day. You know, like if I just waited one more day, then I would have seen that, you know, things would change.
Yeah.
But yeah. And so it's funny, the realness that's, and I think that's how people connect with me and yourself, because we show, we can be a business owner as well as a human who's relatable and fun. And it doesn't have to be all like, you know, just money exchange. Yeah. Like it can be fun along the way.
Yeah. And in my humble opinion, I actually think that's why women are so great at business, you know, cause we show up as people first. And I think, it's when we lose our way on that sometimes, and we get caught up in the social media-ness of it all, or like the perfectionist-ness, that's not a word, but you know what I mean, of it all, that when we do that, we actually lose a lot of the heart and soul of the business itself that makes it so successful.
Yeah. And especially after the last few years, I say this all the time, like we want that human connection to people. Like we don't, you're not working with a business, a logo, you know, you're working with the people's, there you go. I'm making words too. The people in it. But yeah, so I wanted to go into the whole sales page. I know that 100%, this is, you want your personality, people to be able to relate to you, because if they're going to do like make a big investment, and usually sales pages are for a significant amount of money. Well, for some people it is. You need to be able to connect with them in a way that makes them feel, I guess, safe to make that investment. Mm-hmm. So let's delve into these questions. And I'm sure I'm going to go a few like actually pre-sorted, but I'm sure more are going to come up. But first of all, what are some of the copy must-haves that most business owners miss?
Yeah, the must-have is it must sound like you. And this is something people miss. I have to say, I get so excited when I get on a discovery call with someone, or someone just signs up. I have a couple of programs with me. You can just sign up, right? And they're like, oh my God, you're exactly the same as you were before. Yes. Or they'll be like, and they'll be like, I had to sign up because I got your email and I could hear you. And I'm like, oh, we win. Yes. Like that's the thing. And I think so many of us, if you want to really impact someone's life, which most of us in the service-based industry want to do, our job is to actually, I don't want to say invade, that's not quite the right word, but sort of implant the lessons that we're teaching or the ideas that we're sharing into people's heads so they can take them, because our job is really to affect human behavior. And that can't happen if we don't hear the person in our heads. Right. And that sounds really funny, but how many jingles can you sing from commercials, right? They're in your head. And it provides this opportunity for people to decide whether or not they love being around you before they've even met you. And I think the biggest mistake people make is, one, they talk about themselves first instead of the problem they're solving. Because nobody cares about you. I love you so much. Anybody who's listening, I love you to pieces. No one cares about you. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
But they don't, right? What they want to know is, can you help me? That's all they want to know is, can you help me? I'm freaking out. You don't land on a sales page because you're bored. You don't land on a sales page because you don't care. We all know what a sales page is. We all know what it looks like. And we are hoping to high heaven that it's the solution. It's kind of like, you know, all of us that are old enough to remember a bookstore. But it was so fun to go shopping in a bookstore. And you'd pick up books and turn to the back cover and hope to God it was the one you wanted to read, right? It was like, come on, baby, be the one I want, right? And if it wasn't, if that didn't work for you, you'd put it back and move on to the next one. And a sales page is much like that. And so that mistake of not being a person as you write, a lot of what we've already talked about, right? They have to hear your voice. It's got to sound like a person. And it's got to have nothing to do with you. You have to put the human being who's looking for a solution in the moment of success and call that out from step one.
Yeah, 100%. And I'm like that with my newsletters and things. And I get that feedback. Oh, I can hear your voice come through. And same with my social media posts. Like I type as I speak. And I've had that feedback. Yeah, people have said to me, oh, well, you know, I can hear you through this. And actually when you said about hearing, like, the, you know, not the voice in your head, but, you know, thinking about that person, I have a business advisor friend, Jane, and she actually set up a little, some sort of offering, because people often say, I stop and think, what would Jane do? What would Jane say in this situation? And I'm the same with my friend Steph, who's an emotional intelligence coach for parents.
So
I'm often saying, "Ooh, what would Steph say in this situation?" if you can be that guiding light, mm-hmm. and provide, and that 100% the solution based stuff. I've said this before, I think on the podcast, don't wee all over yourself. Think about who you're actually speaking to. And yeah, it's the what's in it for me. Like, they're going to, why should I care? Uh-huh. Like, tell me. So 100%. So another question is the psychology of your buyer to then be able to, I mean, you have to really know your target audience, right? To then be able to speak to them and know their pain points and then know what kind of phrases are going to make them go, oh my gosh, yeah, sign me up, take my money.
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about the psychology of a sales page, or what a human being goes through. All of us have the exact same pattern when we're deciding whether or not to purchase. And this is why I think if we can really get this down, this is why I call sales pages business assets. And I don't think people think about them that way, but here we are talking, right, Leanne? We're sitting here talking, and for all we know, somebody's Googled both of us or either one of us, and actually looking at the sales page for something. That is a business asset, because you and I get to be here and have this amazing conversation. Or sometimes I'll be with my clients, or I'll be in the Abundance Academy and we're having this extraordinary coaching session. And those pages are out there working for us, right? They're out there working, doing jobs for us that we can't do because we're busy in the business. And so when you're looking at the psychology that somebody goes through in this extraordinary business asset that you're creating, you want to make sure you understand every step of that process, or you're going to destroy the business asset. And that breaks my, like, it makes me so sad, because that person is seeking the solution. You're busy helping other people already, and it's this massive missed opportunity. So inside of the psychology of a sales page, right, the first thing that we have to understand is every single person purchasing is feeling emotional. Another way to say that is there's no such thing as a sale that doesn't involve emotion. And if you really stop and think, it doesn't matter if you just bought new nail polish. It doesn't matter if you just bought a new couch. It doesn't matter if you're looking at a necklace or a car or a course, whatever it is, you have an emotional connection to the purchase or you wouldn't make it. And people are like, well, yeah, but what about toothpaste? I'm like, yeah, what about toothpaste? Do you like to smile? And it's like, damn it, Sarah, you got me again. It's like, yeah, there's an emotional reason you're buying this thing, right? And sometimes we don't love it. Like, I'm not thrilled, you know, when my water heater breaks or whatever, but I'm not taking a cold shower, so I'll figure it out, right? There's an emotion there. And we have to recognize the very first thing somebody is experiencing when they're looking to purchase is emotion. So that has to be addressed. And we want to talk to that, right? That is that whole solution-based start, is we're tapping into the emotion, and that must be there. If that's not there, you're already out of the game. So you do have to know enough to know what that person is experiencing. And for anybody who's like, how do I know that? One of my favorite things to talk about is, what did somebody Google to find your page? If you can answer that, you know their state of mind already. What did they Google to land there? And if you can figure that out, you're winning. So, because now you're with your person and you love them and you respect them and you honor them and you jump into their emotional state. And then the next thing that you need to do is help them know it's not their fault. That's the next piece in the psychology. And sometimes you'll flat out see that on sales pages that are excellent. They'll literally say, it's not your fault. You haven't found the solution. And then the next piece of that is, it's not your fault because people want you to stay here. Right. And I love doing that. Like, we can see that so easily with things like weight loss, right? For example, it's my favorite here in the United States, right? That Nestle owns Weight Watchers. That's my favorite. They feed you candy bars and then help you lose. I'm really? Like, how, people, can we work? Can we talk about that? Like, it's not your fault the diet doesn't work. It's not supposed to. Because if it did, they can't have you come back, right? Like, it's not your fault that you keep quote unquote failing. You're not failing. You're doing it exactly as planned, right? Like, and it's not your fault, right? And we talk about this a lot when it comes to money too, for women, right? It's not your fault that you feel intimidated by this, or you feel guilty about it, or you feel like there's some moral aspect to this. And then we talk about what I call to be, you know, the negative players in the space, right? The people who want you to feel this way. It's by design this way. It's no one's fault really that they designed it this way, but you got swept into the hamster wheel of this. And then it comes down to, you don't have to stay here. That moment is when they move from emotion to logic. This is the moment I think most people, I don't want to use the word fail, but most people miss, right? Is it's like the me show, the me show, the me show, buy my thing. Okay, now give me money. It doesn't work that way. We have to move from emotion to solving it, having somebody understand it's not their fault. Why it's not their fault. By the way, there's the solution. And that is the moment that logic kicks in. Like I said, I mean, this is where price positioning is everything. This is where it's like, we hear this a lot in the States. We have like the animal shelters for 62 cents a day. You can save an animal, right? Like those things. It's like, you got to get the exact logical need of that person to have them understand this makes sense. Not only is there a return on investment, there's a return on investment plus joy, plus emotion, plus satisfaction, plus what you're searching for. And that must make logical sense or the person will not buy. And that is the psychology of a human being. Any human being, it doesn't matter, all of us, any human being has to go through in order to decide whether or not they're going to exchange their money for what they're looking at.
Yeah, because it all comes down to that value, right? Because you can put any price point there, but if they don't see the point... So that's where you have to go through the whole, I mean, the build up of it and go, all right, here's where you're at. And I think, yeah, because a lot of people do have that guilt. Oh, okay, for example, for my stuff, it's the overwhelm of, you know, I'm meant to do all this marketing, but I'm too busy serving clients. And so I would probably go into, you know, yes, I understand you're feeling completely overwhelmed. You know, you're meant to do this stuff, but you told you meant to do this stuff. All the experts are telling you meant to do this stuff, but you just feel overwhelmed because there's so much to do. And, you know, that's not your fault because especially if you're a micro business owner, you're often expected to wear all the hats until you can afford to outsource and blah, blah, blah. And then, yeah, you can delve in then and go, all right, well, we can simplify it. We can bring you an easy solution. So I'm just, you know, thinking about the blogging bootcamp, for example, can help you set aside that time, keep you accountable, write it, be by your side, and then teach you how to repurpose it so it can be put aside, scheduled, and you don't have to think about it. That would then bring this relief, you know, no guilt to that, or, you know, regret that you're not doing it. It will just start happening. You'll start seeing results. And then, yeah, kind of go through that little journey there. And I think as well, if you just go, here's your pain point, here's the solution, which is fine for maybe a website, you know, a web page, because usually then there's a consultation and you chat and then you know. But for this, you want to kind of get people to come to it and say yes without having, it's pretty much, that's the thing, isn't it? A sales page, you want to be able to have that whole conversation with them without actually speaking to them. That's kind of the point, right?
It is. And in order to do that, sometimes what we have to do, that moment of logic, is really about leading somebody to make the best decision for them. And that, to me, is the most important aspect of a sales page, is that it's not pushy, that it's not in your face, that it's not obnoxious, right? But it is 100%, is this in your best interest to do? And literally sometimes I'll ask that question, would that be worth it for you? Would it be worth it for you to save that time? Would it be worth it for you to save that money? Would it be worth it for you to solve this finally? Would it be worth it for you to wake up every day and feel this way? You're the only one who can make that call. And that ultimate respect for the person who's purchasing, I just think that is so important. I think it's missing in so many places. It just breaks my heart. It's like, dude, you know, there are human beings on the other side of that page. These are human beings who are like really working to find a solution. They're struggling with something right now and you could actually help. You never want to get in the way of that. And sometimes what we have to do is actually honor the brilliance of that person and ask them the most important question. Would that be worth it for you?
And they're all the yes questions, right? So if they go yes, and that's, if they saying yes, then they're more likely to say yes when, hey, it comes to payment time, because they've already said internally yes a whole bunch of times. And I had this conversation with someone recently about, you know, she'd have a sales call and then go, oh, so what do you think? And then, you know, and they kind of would go, oh, yeah, I'll come back to you. And I said to her, you didn't actually say so would you like to do this or this? Like, would you like to pay this way or that way? Or does this sound good to you? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's to get them more positive or assume the sale a little bit. But I do love what you're saying here about the emotion more, because I know that when you get caught up in a sales page, especially if you're like, I think, yeah, it's quite easy to get caught up in, oh, I just want to make lots of money from this. Oh, mm. And then you just get so caught up in your own head that you kind of forget about that emotional, the conversation you would otherwise have with a person to guide them, to make them feel safe to make that investment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think people feel that. People know when the author of a sales page wrote it in that vein. Give me the money, give me the money. Yeah. They know that. And it's so creepy. And given the intelligence of the market at the moment, I just think that is such a mistake.
Yeah. So with like having different sales packages and things too, I mean, the typical thing you often see is like the three options and you have then the most popular, like in the middle. Do you want to just talk a little bit about the package kind of thing and the best way to put that out there?
Well, I think it depends on what it is. It's very hard to say that just generally, right? I think for all of us who own businesses as well, I think the idea is understanding who you want to help, right? So if you're selling, for example, a $25,000 coaching package, say, that's probably not going to be a payment plan, because someone who's looking for a coach at that level doesn't need one. And that's not to be flippant or like to be, it's just probably, they don't care. They're just going to pay that, right? Because their business is running at a certain level, and hiring a coach like that is a business expense, and it's a business expense they can handle. So they're just going to pay that off, and they're not even going to look at it, right? And I don't mean that not in a flippant way or a dismissive way, but they understand what they're doing. They know what it costs. They're going to take care of it. And then there's someone who's maybe tipping, like just barely dipping their toe into the water of what you're offering. And that person might need $9.99 for 6 months, right? Instead of $49 right now. I don't know. I just made that up. I don't even know what the math is there. I was totally making it up. But like that understanding, and that again goes back to the compassion and the love for the person you're selling to. And if you're really in that space, instead of in your own, how much can I make? What can I do? Like that nastiness that can come up that is so self-centered and so the opposite of heart-centered sales. So the opposite of actually making a fantastic living because the impact you're having is so ginormous, right? That's actually when we make a boatload of money, is not when we sell the highest end package or have the best page. It's when the impact of what you're offering is there and it's real. And so if that impact you're after is for people who cannot afford larger packages, make sure you make it affordable for them. So it's sort of hard for us to just blanketly say, do it this way or that way. There are some people, you know, I think a master of this here in the States is Jenna Kutcher. She is so good at this. I think most of her courses are $300. And she has payment plans that start as low as $27, right? And it's like so smart because she's going after those who are starting. It's brilliant because they can afford it, which is so great. And it's so helpful to them that they then want to come back and buy something else. It's just brilliant, but it has to be a good product.
Yeah. Like I know the whole like a monthly breaking down installments works really well for my clients. So
great.
I go, oh yeah, that's, you know, $2,500. And they're like, oh, I go, yeah, but don't worry, I can break it over to, you know, three installments. And they're like, oh, thank you. Like everyone's just budget wise. Mm-hmm. Or like I'm, you know, moving into book editing, for example, and you know, it's a $10,000 thing. And I was having this conversation with a client and he said, okay, I just have to go find a $10,000 client. And I said, well, hang on a second. We're just going to split this. It's going to be a 6 month project. What if I make it, you know, 6 month installments? Then you have to make, you know, a $2,000 client a month to cover it. Because, oh, that sounds even better.
Yeah.
So I think definitely saying, you know, breaking it down for most people. I mean, unless, yeah, of course, you're going for big corporates and then you're like, yeah, lump sum, $25,000. No worries.
Exactly.
But otherwise, people do appreciate. And they're, you know, I know often it's a little bit more to pay monthly rather than upfront, but people are willing to pay that 10% extra just because it helps with their budget. Right. So I think that's still important to allow that. Mm-hmm. Don't worry. Yeah, just add that 10% extra. I don't feel bad about it.
That's
just,
right.
I've done that. Go, oh, nah, you know what? Paying $49 a month rather than this massive lump sum right now is much more doable, even though if I did upfront, it'd work out $39 a month, like whatever. So I think doing that as well can just if they're otherwise convinced, it could be that last little
That's
step
right.
That
again, because logic. Yeah, because logic is the last penny to drop, no pun intended, right? Like that's the one where they go, oh, I can do that, right? And they're thinking of their own cash flow. They're thinking of what's happening. And you need to know your customer well enough to know what that logical move is for them. I think it was so great what you just said. Like, you know, for your audience, that's better. It's great.
Yeah. And so how do you, okay, so I want to just go to get people to your sales page. I mean, obviously you mentioned before about people just finding it. What are your other recommendations? Is it like social media posts? Is it advertise, Facebook ads, like, or LinkedIn ads or whatever? Any recommendations to get people to that sales page?
Yeah, I am not a fan of ads. I know that is not popular for a business coach to say. I am not. I am really a lover of relationships. And I think one of the, if you want to actually spend time or money, I would spend it creating like meaningful relationships on LinkedIn and or networking events. Like if we hear, and the reason I say this, you guys, look, I know we all look at like the big people inside industries, right? So I'm a coach, right? I look at Tony Robbins. Holy crap. No, what the dude spends $10 million a year on ads, as he should, whatever, that works for his business. I don't need a business that big yet. I'd love one. I'm great. By the way, universe, if you're listening, bring it on. But right. So it's like not a problem for me. I have to work with probably 100 people a year for me to hit my revenue goals. I'm super happy. I work with 100 people a year. I don't need to run ads to work with 100 people a year. And I think we can get kind of sucked into this idea of like, I'm successful. I have ads. Most people, let me check something. It's not most people. I think every single human being I have ever worked with or colleague I've spoken with or networking event I've been at, there has been no one I know who has truly run successful Facebook ads, right? I've done the ROI on the ads I've run in the past and we've made it up, but we made it up over 5 years because people would kind of hang on and watch and hang on and watch and hang on and watch. And then they become some of my biggest like lifetime customers, right? So does it work? Yeah, but over a very long period of time. What I've found to be much more effective is personal relationships. And I really encourage people to do the math in your own business, right? If you're selling items for $49, yeah, you're going to need 1,000 or 2,000 or 10,000 people in your business every year. If you're selling things for $1,000, maybe you work with 100 people a year, right? Like, think about that. And so you want to look at what your goals are and how many people you actually need to work with. And I don't think enough people do that math.
I'm about to write down a note.
Did you do that? Yeah, I know. People go, wait a minute. It makes people so freaking happy. Like every time I do that, someone's like, holy crap, I only need 300 people. I'm like, that's amazing, right? And so looking at that brings so much relief. And you don't have to be the Tony Robbins. You don't have to be Marie Forleo. You don't have to be Jenna Kutcher. You don't have to be these huge names that we all know and see, and they're wonderful and God bless, right? But that doesn't mean that that's the game we're playing. So podcasts, obviously, I think podcasts are wonderful. What I love about podcasts for business owners is that there's no algorithm. If somebody subscribed to a podcast, you're on, they're going to hear it, period, end of discussion. Not to mention, if you are a guest on other people's podcasts or you have guests on your podcast, that naturally increases your search engine optimization, which, by the way, when people want to find a solution, they do not go to Instagram or Facebook and put in, how do I write a sales page, right? That's not what they're going to go to Google. That's where they're going to go. And so knowing that your SEO is going to increase there, or who the heck is Sarah Walton, or who the heck is Leanne Shelton, for somebody, they're going to do that on Google. They might look for you on Instagram, sure, and make sure that's up to par, fine. But if they're actually going to dig in and understand what you're talking about, that's where they're going to go. So being on podcasts increases that. And it also increases your search engine optimization on your own site if you have a podcast, because all of these different pages will start linking to you. And that is also a natural increase. When we're talking about networking events, you need to be crystal clear on what I call as your unique selling proposition, right? You must know what that is. And if you want to get people directly to a sales page, have a QR code. People do it all the time. It's not hard. Mm-hmm. Put that on your card, put it where, have it on your own freaking phone and someone can snag it. There's so many ways to get people to your sales page that will actually be ready to purchase, that have nothing to do with you spending money.
Love it. And what do you think about like the free webinar approach and then tell them to go check out the sales page? Because I know there's, is that, has that been overdone? Like, is that, does it still work?
Well, sure, everything's been overdone at this point. I don't think there's anything that hasn't been over. Like, I mean, come on. Can we be serious for a sec? Like, holy cannoli. Like, have you let wait? Everything's been overdone, right?
I know.
I think what's been overdone is cheesy, obnoxious webinars. Yes, that has been overdone. Where if you don't order now, like that, like, dude, it's not Saturday.
And the
morning.
Ones that I hate the ones that are pull like pure surface That's level, disgusting. Like really going, your pain point's this, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And then it gives a little teaser of how it could help. But then, all right, now you need to go spend this much money to actually find out how we can help you. Absolutely hate those. So all the webinars I've run over the years, it's always been like, I want you to get so much freaking value from this that you like love me and want to follow me and then eventually do business with me. But I don't want it to, leave that bad taste in
your mouth. I mean, I don't think I've ever, I host a boatload of workshops because I believe in workshops. I believe in actually doing work. I do a lot of workshops and I sell from workshops all the time. And I don't like running a workshop if there isn't a financial return on investment. It is a lot of time and energy for us as business owners to plan, to create, to outline, to create slides. I mean, it is like so much freaking work that I don't want to do that unless the business is going to get paid for that, right? I'm the biggest business asset because I'm out there. It's my name is on the door, right? So if I'm going to be out there, it is not wise for the business. Forget me. I don't even care about me. As a business owner, my job is to protect the business, right? Is to make sure the business is healthy, that it's cared for, that it's getting what it needs. I always refer to a business as its own entity. And if I'm going to harm the business by using my time that way and not taking care of the business on the back end, that doesn't work for me. That being said, I'm sure you can tell by the way I talk, also taking care of the human beings who've taken time out of their lives to show up and learn something from me, that better be freaking stellar, right? I don't care if they follow me afterwards or not. They better walk out of that room going, holy crap, that was incredible, right? That's my brand. And if I blew that, that's on me, right? And so I think it's incredibly important that we create workshops that sell, but they sell because the workshop's freaking phenomenal. They sell because someone's like, I am not walking out of this room without what she has. There's no freaking way because I know it's going to change my life because she just did. If that's what you're doing, that is not the bro. Well, you got two choices now. You can take the path you bought. It's like, oh my God, did you guys all read the same script? And is it Sunday morning and I'm watching an infomercial? What the hell just happened to my life? Right. And so I think this is really about us taking an extraordinarily powerful tool, right? Which is an exchange of information for someone's time. That is an amazing tool. For everybody should win at that, right? The people attending should have their minds blown. You as the business owner should love that experience and the business should be rewarded financially. Like all of that should be happening. That's an extraordinary tool. Has it been overused and bastardized and people poop all over it and do stupid stuff? You bet. We don't have to do that. And I'm a big believer of that in business. If you see something that's awful, fix it. Make it your own. Take it. You do not have to do this the way anyone else has ever told you to do it. Go knock your own socks off and be blown away by how amazingly well you did something. Now you're cooking with gas. Like now you got a business. Like love it. Now you're owning your business. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Because I always go on about this no like trust factor. Mm. And so if people, they know you, they like you, and they trust that you're not going to be like screwed over for a sale that you didn't really want to commit to or something. Because I've been there and it's really just, so like they play, you know, those that play on your emotions going, come on, you know, this is the right thing for you. Like you need this in your life right now. And, you know, you're already in tears and you know that you're just vulnerable. And like, I hate that. So, and I've had, you know, there's 100%, look, this whole thing is a very long game a lot of the time. Like I've got people who've come to my workshops and then 2 years later, I've gone, I'm ready to work with you. It was initially a free workshop, a very low cost. And they join my mailing list and they're like, oh, I read all your emails, or I actually don't read your emails, but I see your name pop up every time and I think of you. Cool. And then, and so then they come to your sales page. They've already been following you, been to your things, and they've loved you. Then you're halfway there, right? And then it's just going, why this particular product, why this particular service? do I need to buy? So it's so much more powerful to build a lot more. Yeah, because a Facebook ad or whatever, like I've never done ads myself. Yeah, that's just, they're coming in very cold still. So you're going to have to do extra work to get them to say yes.
I just haven't. I have yet to see anybody who's like, yes, it worked.
Yeah.
I mean, it is such a long tail game. And what's so tough about it too is Meta will happily continue to take your money while you have to figure out why it's not working. And what is it, the landing page? Yeah. Is it the ad? Is it the change from the ad to the landing page? I mean, it is exhausting. And listen, there are people out there in the world that is their sole job and they love it and they're excellent at it. Go find them and hire them when you have the funds to do that. And I think the issue with these ads, I think where people have really made mistakes is it's super sexy, right? You're like, I'm so sexy, I'm running ads, right? Like it's got that appeal to it.
Yeah.
But dudes, to do that well and to do that in a way that actually has an impact, you are looking at tens of thousands of dollars. And I think that that's absolutely, that to me is on the same par as that entrepreneur porn I talked about where it's like, it's so easy, 62 cents a day, like whatever. No, that is not real. And I wish people were more honest about that. It's like, yeah, you can become the Marie Forleo's, Jenna Kutcher's, Tony Robbins. Like you can do that. Those people spend millions of dollars on ads a year, millions. And they do that because it takes millions to figure out what even freaking works. Right. And they're good at it, but they have entire teams.
They've got that money
stuff.
To take that gamble.
Yeah. It's like people act like they're like, oh, I did it in my basement in 10 minutes. No. There are teams of geniuses who only do that one thing running those ads. And I think there's just this fallacy behind that breaks my heart and it has bankrupted people. And it's just devastating to me. I'm like, dude, go into someone else's group and blow their minds with some incredible information.
I was about to say.
Yeah.
I think the Facebook group community thing is so much more effective. Mm-hmm. And then that's to come back to the sales page again. And then you build up that trust and go, all right, and then here's, hey guys, let me know I'm doing the special offer. Or if you want more, know about more my program, here's that QR code, this link. And say, I love that, have like your networking and have a QR code ready to go. Like, oh yeah, and here's my program if you're interested or whatever it is. But yeah, so let's have a look. Okay, so kind of talked about how to get people to sales page and the sales page. Now, how about measuring results of it? Like, how do you know that it's doing well? How often should you make tweaks to it? Or ain't broke, don't fix it. I would love to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, that's hard. It's hard to do. It depends on price point, right? So obviously your conversion rate on a sales page is going to change dramatically depending on what you're selling. But you want to be doing at least 10 to 20% of a conversion rate on a sales page. So that's very different from what we call a landing page or a lead magnet page. That should be at 50%, right? So 100 people hit that page, 50 people better sign up for your lead magnet. That's where you want that sitting.
Okay, what are the different? So there's a difference between each of those types.
Very big difference. And I wish people talked about that more too. Yeah, there's a big difference, right? Because one, you're exchanging your email address and you know you can unsubscribe. So that better be at 50%, right? And then people are in a whole other, I hope, very wonderful and warm nurture sequence with you that can end up landing them on the sales page, right? And that if you have a killer sales page, you're looking at 20%. And it's hard to get to that number until you've had at least 300 people hit the page, right? That, I mean, to know what the number really is, you're going to want 300 people to hit the page. And if 300 people hit the page, you would hope that 60 have purchased. That would get you your 20%, right? So that's hard to do. I'm rattling off these numbers like it's no big deal. It's very challenging to do that. So if you've had your first 300 people hit the page and you're at 10%, you tweak it now. You tweak it right now. And that is not tweaking like you throw the whole thing out and start over. That is you changing a couple words. That is you trying a different color on the buttons. That's you changing what the button says and then watching what happens. Because the people who succeed at extraordinary sales pages are the people who understand a tiny change can save everything and absolutely change the trajectory of your entire business. And let's look, if you're selling something that's $1,000.
No pressure.
If you're selling something that's worth $1,000, and 10% of those people convert, that's $30,000 versus $60,000. It's a big freaking difference. So become an expert at what will work.
Wow.
It's really important. And people, this is the, you guys, I'm going to be super honest. So everyone wants to be like, I love to use the word sexy in business, right? Like everybody wants the super sexy business, like, and totally running Facebook ads. And I had the best photographer and like, I got it. Like it's super sexy. Oh my God, go get it. That's fantastic. That will not sell. What will sell is your emotional connection to people. What will sell is the logic. What will sell is your work in tweaking and what I call the very unsexy tasks. The things you have to do when no one's watching, the things you do when everyone else has gone to bed, the things you do when everyone else is like, I guess the sales page sucks. I'm not going to do it. And you're like, nope, I'm going to go back. Those are the people who win. And it isn't sexy, right? You don't want to take an Instagram photo of yourself at midnight tweaking copy. Like that's not where the sexy is. So people don't do it. And that's a shame because that's where the money is. That's where the success is. That's where your impact is. That's where all the change you can make is when you take the time to do the unsexy. When you go back and you're like, crap, is this my mindset? Which we haven't even talked about. But I happen to believe sales success is 20% strategy, 80% mindset. And this is the mindset I'm talking about. That 80% is in your, that all that success is you going back and saying, I'm going to change what that button says and see if it makes a difference. I'm going to change the way I worded that. And I'm going to see if that's going to make a difference. What did they Google to get here? Hold on. Let me think about this. Okay. They just Googled, why am I so fat? Why do I hate, I'm totally making this up. I hate my body. They just Googled, holy crap, I can't pay my electric bill. They just like, whatever, you get back in there with them. And your headline is, did you just, one of my favorites for a weight loss client of mine, someone who teaches people to lose weight. My favorite was, did you just tuck that roll of fat into your jeans? Swear to God, it was the most successful sales page ever, right? Because they were like, oh my God, how did she know? Right? Because it's like, we took the time to go. I was like asking over and over and over, where are they right now? What are they doing right now? What is happening? And she was like, oh my God, she just sat down and pulled her jeans up. I'm like, oh, that's it, right? Like you got to get that excited about your sales page. You got to dive in there and be with your people and freaking love them up. And that is mindset. That is not strategy. That is mindset. That is, I am one with this person. I freaking love this person. I'm here to help them do something they've never done before. And in order to do that, they have to know you get them. And you have to, they have to know you care enough. And they have to like have that experience on your sales. You're like, holy shit, how did she know that? If you can do that,
Stalker, she's at my window. Look at her. She's like, pulling my pants up.
Is she here? What happened? Yeah, that's the effect you want to have because people will relax. Because the other thing I think we have to remember in sales that people forget, and this again goes back to mindset, is most people are terrified. Like we go to those freaking workshops and we're like, oh dear God, please don't sell me. If I don't really, you know, and at the same
time, free one day
please sell me if this is right. You know, it's like this weird double-edged sword, right? Like, please be the solution. Please, please. So we really want to be respectful of that. And that is going to take your own mindset. That is going to take you getting up off the couch when you don't want to tweak it one more time and tweaking it one more time and being so respectful of the person you can help. It's worth it for you to get up and have them know this is going to help them. That it's worth it for you to get up and make a difference for somebody else. And the rewards on the back end of that are so mammoth. Because the more money you make, I think, you know, and I work exclusively with women, but the more money I think we get in the hands of women, the better off this planet's going to be. The men have been in charge of the money for a long time. And I'm sorry, I don't think it's going very well. And I think, you know, it's really time for us. And I say that all the time, like here in the States, you know, we can drop a bomb within inches of where we want it to go, but we can't drop food, medicine, and water where people need it. I don't buy it. It's because the money is not in the hands of women. And that is going to come from women doing the unsexy tasks that need to get done in order to figure out how to help more people so that we can start to change things and have a much bigger impact.
Woohoo! Well, that is an awesome way to wrap up the podcast, I think, because that's such a great message there. It's 100%. You know, I've got two daughters, and I think they see me in my business, and they see me what I do, and I'm like, okay, I hope you have an entrepreneurial spirit, girls, and just do a bit of girl power. Even gave them names that, you know, were very empowering. Like Gabrielle means, you know, strength of God, and Indiana, you know, I think Indiana Jones can do anything. So I'm very much that girl power. But yeah, I think 100%, I love what you just, you know, said about the sales pages to wrap them up. Like, let's just connect with people, know where they're at, blow them away and go, we can help. I mean, I'm completely reassessing my whole sales page now. I go and play with the crap out of that. But yeah, I'm loving this. And so I just want to know, for the show notes, can you send us over samples of like your own sales pages or something that we can then link and people can look at?
Absolutely. I would be honored to do that. Yeah.
That'd be amazing. Just so we can see, you know, just from what you've said, how it actually looks, and then, you know, can kind of go, all right, cool. I can kind of then go, all right, that's what I can kind of do for my page here. All right, cool. She's kind of got this kind of happening there. I'll see if that works for me. And I guess everyone just get playful with it, experiment with your sales pages, and please, yes, shoot me a DM if you've had a go, redone your sales page and had some great results. I know mine has probably had like 5 people, not 300, but so I've got a bit of work to do. But yeah, this has been great, Sarah. So thank you so much for joining us. I'll put all your contacts and things in the show notes so everyone knows how to reach out to you. But any final words just about sales pages you just want to wrap up with? Just
don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. If you had the nudge to start this business, if you had the pull to help people in the way you want to help them, don't be afraid. Show up and let them know you can help.
Love it. Thank you so much for joining us, Sarah. It's been amazing. I think everyone, I mean, I'm feeling like all pumped. Yay! And I hope the listeners are too. But yeah, if you haven't already subscribed to the show, make sure you do for more awesome episodes coming up, both solo and guests, all about the marketing, business growth, mindset, because I love all that stuff. And yeah, please share across your socials, and I hope to see you all, well, kind of, you can hear me, maybe see you if you see you on the socials very soon. So go fix up your sales page or go start building it. You can do it. And yeah, I'd love to hear how you go. See ya.